My scripture reading is Leviticus 23, starting at verse 26. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "On exactly the 10th day of this 7th month is the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you, and you shall humble your souls and present an offering by fire to the Lord. You shall not do any work on this same day, for it is a Day of Atonement, to make atonement on your behalf before the Lord your God. If there is any person who will not humble himself on this same day, he shall be cut off from his people. As for any person who does any work on this same day, that person I will destroy from among his people. You shall do no work at all. It is to be a perpetual statute throughout your generations, in all your dwelling places. It is to be a Sabbath of complete rest to you, and you shall humble your souls on the 9th of the month at even. From evening until evening, you shall keep your Sabbath." Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this Day of Atonement. We thank you for the plan of salvation that you have for your people. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blood sacrifice of your only begotten Son, Yeshua. Lord, that we would have forgiveness of our sins and things that we do contrary to your will by repenting and calling on your name through the blood sacrifice of your Son. And Heavenly Father, bless the words and thoughts that are brought forth and help them to help each one of us as you would have. In the name of your Son, Yeshua, we ask, and amen. And my text to you is the verse 28 of my scripture reading. "You shall not do any work on this same day, for it is a Day of Atonement, to make atonement on your behalf before the Lord your God." And today we have a dual Sabbath. We have both a weekly Sabbath and we have a high Sabbath. So it's a very special day. And throughout the years, it has been known as the most solemn day and sacred day of the year. It is called Yom Kippur, which means Day of Atonement. And this is the Festival of Atonement. And I always like to look and emphasize that every one of the festival days have implications for us that comes from the past, and it's that comes from the present time, and also are prophetic or futuristic implications. But the Day of Atonement basic theme is that God, Almighty Yahweh, has a plan, a master plan, for sins to be covered. And that's part of what one of the main focuses of this particular Day of Atonement. It is a Sabbath of rest, as all Sabbaths are. Rest from your ordinary work, from your ordinary labor, from the things that you would ordinarily do on any and every day. This day is different. It's extra special, and it's extra sacred. And we should be particularly careful about anything that we do on this day, even our thoughts. We should try to have them as much as possible directed toward God. It's a holy assembly. The Bible calls it a convocation. It is an assembly and a solemn assembly. It is also the one and only actually commanded fast day. And traditionally, no food or water from Friday evening at sunset to Sabbath evening at sunset. And of course, traditionally, people that have medical problems and those kind of issues are not expected to do this fast. And of course, some people can do them, but in a limited kind of way. And we know that God sees and He knows each thing in each one of our hearts, individually and personally, in that regard. And we know that He understands. Also, sacrifices, obviously, are offered. We'll speak about those sacrifices that pertain to us today. And, of course, we know we don't sacrifice animals. Jesus Christ was our once and for all sacrifice that took the place of this ancient animal sacrifices. Also, obvious primary focus is the need of humankind and each one of us personally for atonement of our sins. Let's look at Leviticus 16 and 30, and let's look at that together. Also, we don't want to forget that this is a day of rejoicing. Yes, it's solemn. Yes, we have those elements that we need to be solemn about and thank the Lord in that regard for. It involved blood sacrifice. It involved His only begotten Son sacrificing His life at Passover time. We need to have that in mind. But we also need to rejoice on this day because we rejoice in God's plan of forgiveness. Isn't it wonderful? He has a plan that we don't have to go around feeling guilty. But we can turn our problems and our concerns and even our sins and shortcomings, we can turn them over to Him. And the sacrifice of His Son makes us know that we can rejoice in His forgiveness and that we are in good standing through that with Him. Leviticus 16 and 30. For it is on this day that atonement shall be made for you to cleanse you. You will be clean from all your sins before the Lord. This day of atonement that the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, the innermost part of the tabernacle or the temple, and did the things that God set out for him to do as part of that ceremony. And why? So that you would be cleansed of all your sins. That's what it's all about. Making atonement, God's plans for you to be forgiven of your sins. And your sins, as it was that we talked about earlier in the Sabbath lesson, for your sins to be covered. That's the thing of atonement. I would like to go also and read Leviticus 16 and 29. Let's look at it also. This shall be a permanent statute for you. In the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall humble your souls and not do any work, whether the native or the alien who sojourns among you. For it is on this day that atonement shall be made for you to cleanse you. You will be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It is to be a Sabbath of solemn rest for you, that you may humble your souls. It is a permanent statute. So the priest who is anointed and ordained to serve as priest in his father's place shall make atonement. He shall thus put on the linen garments, the holy garments, and make atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make atonement for the tent of meeting and for the altar. He shall also make atonement for the priest and for all the people of the assembly. Let's go to Leviticus 25 and verse 9. And remember, our whole total focus today, all the way from yesterday at sundown to today at sundown, your focus should be on God's plan for you and for the atonement of your sins and for you to recognize your sins and ask forgiveness. Repent. Leviticus 25 and 9. You shall then sound a ram's horn abroad on the 10th day of the 7th month. On the day of atonement, you shall sound a horn all through your land. And that's why I wanted to have our blowing of the shofar. Atonement in Leviticus 23 and 27 is the Hebrew word kippur, means covering, to cover. Let's look at Proverbs 14 and 9. Proverbs 14 and 9. Fools mock at sin, but among the upright, there is goodwill. And in some translations, the word atonement is used in there. The sacrifice on the Day of Atonement was extremely elaborate. The priest had to carefully wash and dress, had to sacrifice an animal for his own sins, and had to sprinkle blood upon the book and the people. Hebrews 9 and 19. In this elaborate ritual, accomplished on this day of fasting, one sees the terrible consequences of sin. God has decreed that the penalty for sin is death in Romans 6 and 23. Yet he sent his son, Jesus Christ, as the Lamb of God, the perfect sacrificial lamb, to die for the sins of you and me, for all mankind, to atone for sins, so that those who call upon Christ are symbolically covered by his shed blood, their sins forgiven. The ancient ceremony of atonement was a bloody one. Let's look a little bit further. The high priest was a type of Christ, entering through the veil that separated the outer holy place from the Holy of Holies, a type of heaven itself. The veil in the temple split when the miraculous earthquake struck at the moment of Christ's death, signifying that Christ's death had made it possible for mankind to have direct access to Yahweh the Father through Yeshua, Christ. The detailed ceremony on the Day of Atonement shows the necessity for Christ's sacrifice to atone for our sins. Shows how his death opened the way into God's presence in heaven itself. And it also shows how Satan will finally be bound one day, unable to deceive the nations any longer. Let's go to Hebrews 9 and starting at the 21st verse. And we're going to read what the Apostle Paul wrote. Hebrews 9, 21. And in the same way, he sprinkled both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry with blood. And according to the law, one may almost say, all things are cleansed with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Therefore, it was necessary for the copies of the things in the heavens to be cleansed with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor was it that he would offer himself often as the high priest enters the holy place year by year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, he would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now once, at the consummation of the ages, he has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes the judgment. So Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly await him. At trumpets, you remember 10 days ago, we had, in essence, the trumpets blowing, which signal a call throughout all the land. To all the people, it was a call to awake from your sleep. Come to your senses. And it was a call for a spiritual awakening and a need for spiritual focus. Turning your hearts and your minds, your thoughts, turning them to God. In essence, it was a regathering. It was to be a call for us to start self-evaluation, to start looking inward at ourselves, what we were doing, what we have been doing, how our lives have changed, perhaps, and whether or not we are growing closer to Yahweh the Father or drifting further away. And this inward look is to be a wake-up call. And those trumpets are to awaken us in that regard, and so that we can self-evaluate and take corrective action. At trumpet, we're issued an awakening call. At atonement, the primary theme is God's forgiveness. That as we are awakened from slumber, spiritual slumber, and we come to our senses and we call on God for help, for deliverance, for forgiveness. That atonement, we can be assured He is hearing and He will and does respond. At atonement, we give sacrifices, not of animals. Jesus did that once and for all, as we've read. But we give sacrifices of repentance, of coming to our senses and returning to God. Sacrifices of charity, love, and of giving. Giving of our time and giving of our talents. And sacrifices of praise and prayer to Almighty Yahweh. And of our love for Yeshua and what He's done for us. And our recognition and our thankfulness to Almighty God that He has forgiven and He will forgive and He does forgive. In the future, Yeshua will finally be accepted by Yahweh's chosen nation, Israel, and His people, the children of Israel. Ultimately, God accepts them into His family, and they become the model nation that He always wanted them to be and purposed for them to be. Let's look at Micah 4 and 2 and 3. Micah 4. Many nations will come and say, "Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, that He may teach us about His ways and that we may walk in His paths. For from Zion will go forth the law, even the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And He will judge between many peoples and render decisions for many distant nations. Then they will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they train for war." Has that time happened yet? Has that ever been recorded? That is part of this to come. Part of the pictures, part of the symbols, the symbology of this festival of atonement. In 1 Corinthians 15, 27 and 28, we've had that recently. I'd like for you to focus on it again. The Day of Atonement is also a day of reconciliation, or at-one-ment. It shows a future time at which God will be all in one with Yeshua, with Israel in its entirety, accepting Him as the only begotten Son and Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, only begotten Son of Yahweh the Father. We will all be all in one with Yahweh together. 1 Corinthians 15, 27. "For He has put all things in subjection under His feet." But when He says all things are put in subjection, it is evident that He is accepted who put all things in subjection to Him. "When all things are subjected to Him, then the Son Himself also will be subjected to the one who subjected all things to Him, so that God may be all in all." Isn't that wonderful? All in all, we with Yahweh and Yeshua and the rest of the entirety of the family of God together forever for all eternity. Never to taste death. Never to be separated from our loving Creator. I would like at this time for us to close our service by going to God's blessing to us and our blessing to each other. Would you stand? And let's all read this together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace.